Om Gyanati Rantasya Gyananjana Shodakara Chakshur Militam Jena Tasvai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Bhupapada Mayam Tadhati Shapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padatamanam Sri Guru Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Shabrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Putam Stam Sadivam Shadvaitam Shabadhutam Pradijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Sri Vishakam Vitamstam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Manpo Jagatpate Gopesha Govika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Bhakta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Krishna Karu Sute Devi Pranamami Holi Kriye Vansha kolpatarubhyascha kripasindhavya evasa paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Again, thank you all for coming. Because today is the Balaram Purnima, I thought we would read a little bit from the Krishna book about the activities of Krishna and Balaram. When Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, in the afternoons he liked to sit in his garden and simply hear about the activities of Krishna from the Krishna book. So this section is relevant, and someplace along the line I'll also insert something. But it's a very sweet section. I think we can enjoy it. In this way, well, no, in this way, that's the previous chapter. Sri Krishna, along with his elder brother Balaram, passed the childhood age known as Kaumara and stepped into the age of Pauganga from the 6th year up to the 10th. At that time, all the cowherd men conferred and agreed to give those boys who had passed their 5th year charge of the cows in the pasturing ground. Given charge of the cows, Krishna and Balaram traversed Vrindavan, purifying the land with their lotus footprints. Accompanied by the cowherd boys and Balaram, Krishna brought forward the cows and played on his flute as he entered the forest of Vrindavan, which was full of flowers, vegetation, and pasturing grass. The Vrindavan forest was as sanctified as the clear mind of a devotee and was full of bees, flowers, and fruits. There were chirping birds and clear water lakes with waters that could relieve one of all fatigue. Sweet-smelling breezes blew always, refreshing the mind and body. Krishna, with his friends and Balaram, entered the forest and, seeing the favorable situation, desired to enjoy the atmosphere to the fullest extent. Krishna saw all the trees overloaded with fruits and fresh twigs, bending down to touch the ground, as if welcoming him by touching his lotus feet. He was very pleased by the behavior of the trees, fruits, and flowers, and he began to smile, realizing their desires. Krishna then spoke to his elder brother, Balaram, as follows. My dear brother, you are superior to all of us, and your lotus feet are worshipped by the demigods. Just see how these trees, full with fruits and flowers, have bent down to worship your lotus feet. It appears that they are trying to get out of the darkness that has obliged them to accept the form of trees. Actually, the trees born in the land of Vrindavan are not ordinary living entities. Having held the impersonal point of view in their past lives, they have been put into this stationary condition of life. But now they have the opportunity of seeing you in Vrindavan, and they are praying for further advancement in spiritual life through your personal association. Generally, living entities in the mode of darkness obtain the bodies of trees. The impersonalist philosophers are in that darkness, but they eradicate it by taking full advantage of your presence. I think the drones that are buzzing all around you must have been your devotees in their past lives. They cannot leave your company because no one can be a better, more affectionate master than you. You are the supreme original personality Godhead, and the drones are just trying to spread your glories by chanting at every moment. I think some of them must be great sages, devotees of your lordship, and they are disguising themselves in the form of drones because they are unable to give up your company even for a moment. My dear brother, you are the supreme worshipable God. Just see how the peacocks are dancing before you in great ecstasy. The deer, whose behavior is just like that of the gopis, are welcoming you with the same affection. And the cuckoos, who are residing in this forest, are welcoming you with their joyful, sweet cries, because they consider your appearance in your home is so auspicious. Even though they are trees and animals, these residents of Vrindavan are glorifying you. They are prepared to welcome you to the best of their ability, as is the practice of great souls in receiving another great soul at home. As for the land, it is so pious and fortunate because the footprints of your lotus feet are marking its body. It is quite natural for these Vrindavan inhabitants to thus receive a great personality like you. The herbs, creepers, and plants are also so fortunate to touch your lotus feet. No, just let it continue. It will only take another minute or so. The herbs, creepers, and plants are also so fortunate to touch your lotus feet. And by your touching the twigs with your fingernails, these small plants are also made glorious. As for the hills and the rivers, they too are now glorious because you are glancing at them. Above all, the damsels of Braja, the gopis, are the most glorious because you embrace them with your strong arms, being attracted by their beauty. Srila Prabhupada told this pastime in Vrindavan the day after he installed Krishna Balaram in the temple there. He was, of course, it was a big struggle to open that temple. It took a lot of effort, many years. And when finally the installation was performed, Srila Prabhupada was quite pleased. And the next morning on his walk, also in a mood of great satisfaction, he was telling this pastime how Krishna, Prabhupada said, is flattering Balaram. My dear brother, all of these trees are great sages. They're offering their obeisances to your lotus feet. And these bees, they're also great sages, and they're simply glorifying you. In this way, Prabhupada was telling the pastime. And he expressed his satisfaction that now the temple was open. He said that he pushed very hard. He said, I was practically whipping them, the devotees, to get things started. And then he said that he'd established this Krishna Balaram temple with Nittai Gaur and Gaur Nittai and Krishna Balaram to establish that there's no difference between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna and Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Balaram. Vrajendra Nandana Ye Shashishuta Hoi Doshe Balaram Hoi Lo Nitai. No difference. So Prabhupada said that if you ever have any difficulty, you can simply go before the deity, Gaur Nittai or Krishna Balaram, and say, sir, this is the problem. And they will do the needful. That was Prabhupada's statement. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that the trees and birds and bees and so on were actually glorifying Krishna. But Krishna didn't want to glorify himself, so he deflected the glories to Balaram, that actually all of these living beings, all of these creatures, or plants and trees and insects, they're all glorifying you because you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, Krishna is smiling and deflecting the praise. Of course, there's no difference between Krishna and Balaram. They're the same personality of Godhead. But Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, and Balaram is the first expansion of Godhead. Otherwise, advaitam achutam anadim ananta rupam. Advaita means that there's not many personalities of Godhead. Eka brahma dutiya nasti. There's only one absolute truth. But that absolute truth expands in many forms. I saw the term the other day, our Satyaraja used the term, Satyaraja Prabhu, polymorphic monotheism. I thought that was quite appropriate. Polymorphic, there are many forms, but monotheism, there's only one personality of Godhead appearing in these many Vishnu forms. Departure evi dushantaram abhyupeta dipayate vritehe du samanupaya. Yastadrig evi dhita Vishnu te avipata. Govindamadi purushantama. The personality of Godhead is one, but he expands himself in many Vishnu forms. Ram, Sringa, Varaha, Kurma, many. Just as one candle lights many other candles, and the same flame is there in all of the candles, but still one is the original, and the other have proceeded from that original. So Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, Krishna Stu Paraman Swayam, and Rama Murti Shokula Niyamayin Tishtam. All the other expansions proceed from Balaram. Balaram is the first expansion, Ramadi. And all the other forms proceed from Balaram. Balaram expands as Sankarshan, and from there, Narayan and so on, we come down to the Mahavishnu, and from the Vishnu avatars, then these Dasa avatars appear, Lila avatars, Ram, Nrsimha, Varaha, Kurma. They're all expanded originally from Balaram. He's the first expansion of Krishna. And this same Krishna and Balaram, although they're the original personality of Godhead, are playing just like cowherd boys. And Sukadeva Goswami is expressing wonder that this same absolute personality of Godhead, who's approached by the yogis and impersonalists as the impersonal Brahma, is playing with the cowherd boys like their personal friend. Here, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the generally the living entities who take the bodies of trees are considered to be in the mode of darkness. According to our activities and our mentality in this life, we take our next body. So those who have come to the form of trees, what must have been their mentality? What must have been their desires? What must have been their situation? That now they're just standing there, whether it's hot or it's cold or it's this or it's that, they're just standing there, they can't move. And they stand and they stand. Like these sequoias stand sometimes, thousands of years. So generally it's considered that they must be living entities in the mode of ignorance, and therefore they've been condemned to stand as trees. Now, if the United States government made any of its citizens stand for, 10 hours in one position with their arms in the air, there'd be court cases, there'd be international tribunals, there'd be talk of war criminals and all of that. But now these trees are having to stand for thousands of years in such a situation. So it's understood that it's on account of their background of being in the mode of ignorance. But in Vrindavan, everything is different. The trees, the plants, the bees, they can't be ordinary living entities because they've taken their birth in Vrindavan. So they're extraordinary. So here Srila Prabhupada says that they're actually sages of the impersonalist school, and they've been allowed to take their birth as trees in Vrindavan. So more or less they're also in a kind of darkness. The mode of ignorance is darkness, and the impersonalist philosophy is also a kind of darkness. But at least it's spiritual darkness. The impersonalists are at least pursuing the absolute truth. They're trying to understand the absolute, but they're in darkness about the personal features of the absolute. They don't know the abhijananti mahabhuta manasya pranamashri. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita. Krishna is not manifest to anyone and everyone. He's manifest to his devotees. Bhaktyamala vijanati, yavanyas jasmitakvata. And to those who are not devotees, to those who are simply philosophers of the impersonalist school, Krishna and his personal feature is hidden. They think that the impersonal absolute is the real thing, and Krishna's form is something imaginary or temporary. So they're in a kind of spiritual darkness, but because they're pursuing the absolute truth, here it's said they've been allowed to take birth as trees, and by the mercy of Lord Balaram, getting his personal association, they can make further advancement and become pure devotees also. Vrindavan is such a place that in Vrindavan everything is automatically revealed. Therefore, if one is able to live in Vrindavan, one can make very rapid spiritual progress. So these trees are so fortunate. They've taken their birth in Vrindavan, and therefore they're eligible to get the company of Krishna Balaram and attain the highest perfection. And the bees also are glorifying Lord Balaram. Katam ganam natyam gamanamapi. In the spiritual world, all of the speaking is singing, and all of the humming is also glorification of Krishna. It's mentioned in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that in Vaikuntha, there are many wonderful musicians. The devotees are expert in playing mridanga and playing various musical instruments and singing to glorify the Lord, the goddess of fortune, is also singing the glories of the Lord. And still, when the bees are humming, then the other Vaikuntha denizens stop to listen, because the bees are also chanting Hare Krishna. They're also chanting the glories of the Lord. And the Vaikuntha Vasis are not envious. They don't think, bees. What can they chant? I'm the goddess of fortune. What can the bee chant? They're appreciative that, yes, the bees are also making a contribution. They're also glorifying the Lord. So let us hear the humming of the bees. So they stop their own glorification and listen to the humming. So in Vrindavan also, the bees are chanting the glories of the Lord. I heard a story, I wasn't there, but I heard that sometime someone, Prabhupada was on the walk, he said these birds were chanting Hare Krishna. And someone on the walk asked Prabhupada, are they really chanting Hare Krishna? Prabhupada said, it seems to me that they are. A second-hand story, but it sounds right. The bees also, they get to go with Krishna and Balaram wherever they go, even if Krishna and Balaram are going for some intimate meeting. Maybe the cowherd boys can't go, but the bees get to go. So they have special privileges also. In this way, Lord Krishna and Balaram began to enjoy the residents of Vrindavan to their full satisfaction as they herded the calves and cows on the bank of the Jamuna. In some places, Krishna and Balaram were accompanied by their friends. The boys were singing, imitating the humming sound of the drums, and accompanying Krishna and Balaram, who were garlanded with flowers. While walking, the boys sometimes imitated the quacking sound of the swans in the lakes, or when they saw the peacocks dancing, they imitated them before Krishna. Krishna also moved his neck, imitating the dancing and making his friends laugh. The cows taken care of by Krishna had different names, and Krishna would call them with love. After hearing Krishna calling, the cows would immediately respond by mooing, and the boys would enjoy this exchange to their heart's content. They would all imitate the sound vibrations made by the different kinds of birds, especially the chakoras, peacocks, cuckoos, and pardrajas. Sometimes, when they would see the weaker animals fleeing out of fear of the sounds of tigers and lions, the boys, along with Krishna and Balaram, would imitate the animals and run away with them. When they felt some fatigue, they would sit down, and Balaram would put his head on the lap of one of the boys just to take rest. And Krishna would immediately come and begin massaging the legs of Balaram. And sometimes Krishna would take a palm fan and fan the body of Balaram, causing a pleasing breeze to relieve him of his fatigue. Other boys would sometimes dance or sing while Balaram took rest. And sometimes they would wrestle amongst themselves or jump. Perverted reflection. When the boys were thus engaged, Krishna would immediately join them, and catching their hands, he would enjoy their company and laugh and praise their activities. When Krishna would feel tired and fatigued, he would sometimes take shelter of the root of a big tree or the lap of a cowherd boy and lie down. When he would lie down with a boy or a root as his pillow, some of the boys would come and massage his legs, and some would fan his body with a fan made from leaves. Some of the more talented boys would sing in very sweet voices to please him. Thus, very soon, his fatigue would go away. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, whose legs are tended by the Goddess of Fortune, shared himself with the cowherd boys as one of them, expanding his internal potency to appear exactly like a village boy. But despite his appearing just like a village boy, there were occasions when he proved himself be the Supreme Personality of God. Sometimes men pose themselves as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and cheat innocent people, but they can only cheat. They cannot exhibit the potency of God. While Krishna was thus engaged in his transcendental pastimes, exhibiting his internal potency in the company of the supermost fortunate cowherd boys, there occurred another chance for him to exhibit the superhuman powers of Godhead. His most intimate friends, Sridhama, Subal, and Stoka Krishna, addressed Krishna and Balaram with great love and affection, thus, "Dear Balaram, you are very powerful. Your arms are very strong. Dear Krishna, you are very expert in killing all kinds of disturbing demons. Will you kindly note that just near this place there is a big forest of the name Talavan? This forest is full of palm trees, and all the trees are filled with fruits. some have fallen down, and some of them are very ripe, even in the trees. It is a very nice place, but because of a great demon, Tenugasura, it is very difficult to go there. No one can reach the trees to collect the fruits. Dear Krishna and Balaram, this demon is present there in the form of an ass, and he's surrounded by similar demon friends who have assumed the same shape. All of them are very strong, so it's very difficult to approach this place. Dear brothers, you are the only persons who can kill such demons. Other than you, no one can go there for fear of being killed. Not even animals go there, and no birds are living there. They've all left. One can only appreciate the sweet aroma that is coming from that place. It appears that up till now, no one has tasted the sweet fruits there, either on the tree or on the ground. Dear Krishna, to tell you frankly, we are very attracted by this sweet aroma. Dear Balaram, if you like, let's all go there and enjoy these fruits. The aroma of the fruits is now spread everywhere. Don't you smell it from here? When Balaram and Krishna were thus petitioned by their intimate friends, they were inclined to please them, and with smiling faces they proceeded toward the forest, surrounded by all their friends. Immediately upon entering the Talavan, Balaram began to yank the trees with his arms, exhibiting the strength of an elephant. Because of this jerking, all the ripe fruits fell down on the ground. Upon hearing the sound of the falling fruits, the demon Tenugasura, who was living there in the form of an ass, approached with great force, shaking the whole field so that all the trees moved as if there were an earthquake. The demon appeared before Balaram and kicked his chest with his hind legs. At first, Balaram didn't say anything, but with great anger, the demon kicked him again, more vehemently. This time, Balaram immediately caught hold of the legs of the ass with one hand, and wheeling him around, threw him into the treetops. While being wheeled around by Balaram, the demon lost his life. Balaram threw the demon into the biggest palm tree about, and the demon's body was so heavy that the palm tree fell upon other trees, and several fell down. It appeared as if a great hurricane were passing through the forest, and all the trees were falling down one after another. This exhibition of extraordinary strength is not astonishing because Balaram is the personality of Godhead, known as Ananta Shesha Nag, who is holding all the planets on the hoods of his millions of heads. He maintains the whole cosmic manifestation, exactly as horizontal and vertical threads hold the weaving of a cloth. After the demon had been thrown into the trees, all the friends and associates of Tenugasura immediately assembled and attacked Balaram and Krishna with great force. They were determined to retaliate and avenge the death of their friend. But Krishna and Balaram caught each of the asses by the hind legs and exactly in the same way wheeled them around. Thus they killed all of them and threw them into the palm trees. Because of the dead bodies of the asses, there was a panoramic scene. It appeared as if the clouds of various colors were assembled in the trees. Hearing of this great incident, the demigods from the higher planets showered flowers on Krishna and Balaram and beat their drums and offered devotional prayers. A few days after the killing of Dhenukasura, people began to come into the Taliban forest to collect the fruits, and animals began to return without fear to feed on the nice grasses growing there. Just by chanting or hearing these transcendental activities and pastimes of the brothers Krishna and Balaram, one can amass pious activities. When Krishna and Balaram entered the village of Vrindavan along with their friends, they played their flutes, and the boys praised their uncommon activities in the forest. Their faces were decorated with tilak and smeared with the dust raised by the cows, and Krishna's head was decorated with a peacock feather. Both he and Balaram played their flutes, and the young gopis were joyous to see Krishna returning home. All the gopis in Vrindavan remained very morose on account of Krishna's absence. All day they were thinking of Krishna in the forest, or of him herding cows in the pasture. When they saw Krishna returning, all their anxieties were immediately relieved, and they began to look at his face the way drones hover over the honey of the lotus flower. When Krishna entered the village, the young gopis smiled and laughed. Krishna, while playing the flute, enjoyed the beautiful smiling faces of the gopis. Then Krishna and Balaram were immediately received by their affectionate mothers, Yashoda and Rohini, who, according to the time's demand, began to fulfill the desires of their affectionate sons. Would you like to hear some more? Simultaneously, the mothers rendered service and bestowed benediction upon their transcendental sons. They took care of their children by bathing them and dressing them very nicely. Krishna was dressed in yellowish garments and Balaram in bluish garments, and they were given all sorts of ornaments and flower garments. Being relieved of the fatigue of their day's work in the pasturing ground, they looked refreshed and very beautiful. They were given palatable dishes by their mothers, and they pleasantly ate everything. After eating, they were seated nicely on clean bedding, and the mothers began to sing various songs of their activities. As soon as they lay down on the bedding, they very quickly fell fast asleep. In this way, Krishna and Balaram used to enjoy Vrindavan life as cowherd boys. Sometimes Krishna used to go with his boyfriends and Balaram, and sometimes he used to go alone with his friends to the bank of the Jamuna and tend the cows. Gradually the summer season arrived, and one day while in the field, the boys and cows became very thirsty and began to drink the water of the Jamuna. The river, however, had been made poisonous by the venom of the great serpent known as Kaliya. The commentators remarked that Balaram wasn't there on this occasion because it was his birthday. Because the water was so poisonous, right? Because later we find that Balaram came to see what was going on with the Kaliya. Because the water was so poisonous, the boys and cows became visibly affected immediately after drinking. They suddenly fell down on the ground, apparently dead. Then Krishna, who is the life of all that lives, simply cast his merciful glance over them, and all the boys and cows regained consciousness and began to look at one another with great astonishment. They could understand that by drinking the water of the Jamuna, they had died, and that the merciful glance of Krishna had restored their lives. Thus they appreciated the mystic power of Krishna, who is known as Yogeshwara, the master of all mystic yogis. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 15th chapter of Krishna, killing of Dhenukasura. Well, this is Krishna and Balaram. They're playing just like cowherd boys, enjoying village life. But when the occasion arises, they show the transcendental prowess of the personality of God. So they're not ordinary boys. These boys will all grow up. The children who are playing outside will be children for some time. Then they'll grow up and have so many problems. Even as children, the children have so many problems. And then they grow up, and then they have more problems. And they grow old. Because that their being children is a function of their having material bodies. Kaumaram jovanam jara. We get the body of a child, we get the body of a young person, we get the body of an old person, and tata dehantara prapti, then we have to change and go to another body. But Krishna and Balaram, when they're showing when they're living as cowherd boys, are playing in their transcendental bodies. They may play the pastime of being fatigued. They may play like ordinary boys. But their activities are all extraordinary. Even the apparently ordinary activities, how they're playing in the forest, how they're playing on their flutes, how they're roaming around and playing games, are extraordinary activities, super extraordinary, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is playing such activities. In Vaikuntha, no one can imagine that Lord Narayan would be playing like a cowherd boy with cowherd friends in the forest. Their conception is that Narayan is the king of kings, he's the greatest of the great. And we find that conception in various religious systems. God is like a great king sitting on a great throne. And in Vaikuntha, he is. But in Vrindavan, he goes beyond that and he enjoys exchanges with his devotees in a mood of sweetness and love. In Vaikuntha, the mood is awe and reverence and offering great respect. But in Vrindavan, the mood is a mood of sweet exchanges in loving relationships with friend and friend, or parent and child, or lover and beloved. These same relationships that are manifested in the material world temporarily and imperfectly in terms of the material body are manifest in perfection in Krishna with his transcendental associates in the spiritual world. So these are the activities of Krishna. And then sometimes Krishna and Balaram perform activities that anyone could understand are extraordinary activities, killing great demons and doing things that would be impossible, bringing the boys back to life after they've drunk poison, dancing on the hoods of the Kaliya serpent, swinging these great asses into the trees and making a nice panoramic scene, as Srila Prabhupada calls it, throwing the donkeys into the trees. These are all wonderful activities. And when we hear about these activities, our hearts become purified. There's so many mundane topics. We can hear about the election, we can hear about the lies being told by various politicians to get votes. We can hear about what's going on in the business world. We can hear about what's going on in sports. But none of that hearing will amount to anything of value. And at the time of death, whoever remembers these topics will be condemned to continue in material life. But by hearing the activities of Krishna, the heart becomes purified, the mind becomes peaceful and clear. And anyone who thinks of Krishna at the time of leaving this world, Chakvadeham Punarjanmanayati, doesn't have to come back. Mamayati, he joins Krishna in Krishna's spiritual pastimes. This is possible by the grace of Krishna and Balaram. Srila Prabhupada comments elsewhere that one has to get free from material existence with the sword of knowledge, and that sword is sharpened by the mercy of Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram is the original spiritual master. The spiritual master is sometimes considered the representative of Lord Balaram. And by the grace of Balaram, one can become sharp in spiritual understanding and attain perfection in Krishna consciousness. All right. Any questions?
Maharaj, in the beginning you mentioned that Balaram and their expansions, Narasimhadeva and all that, they appear, or they are incarnated earlier than Balaram and Krishna. So how do we
understand? These incarnations appear Matsya Kurma earlier than Balaram and Krishna. No, they don't. Because Krishna and Balaram are eternally there in the spiritual world. Before anything. Before the cosmos is even manifest. Krishna is there, Balaram is there. Balaram expands as Sankarshan. Sankarshan expands as Narayan. And Vasudev, Sankarshan, Padumna, Nirutta. Next expansion is then second Sankarshan. And so finally it comes to the Mahavishnu. So this Mahavishnu is expanded in this way from Balaram. And the entire cosmic manifestation is expanded from the Mahavishnu. Then Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, then the incarnations come out. Matsya, Kurma, so on. So it seems, oh, they appeared earlier. What earlier? They appear during the one breath of Mahavishnu. And that Mahavishnu is a port. Yes, Yaika Nishka Sita Kala Matava Langa Jivanti Loma Vilajaduga Gandaman. Vishnur Mahan Sahi Yasya Kalabi Shesha. Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamam. That Mahavishnu is a portion of Krishna. He's a portion of Balaram. So there's no question of before Balaram. Yes, another question.
They say if you need the mercy of Krishna, you go to Balaram, and they say you need for the...
Is there a second microphone? There was sometimes. No. Then just if you speak louder.
Yeah. They say if you need the mercy of Krishna, you go to Balaram, I read some quote. And same thing they say about Radharani, also they report to Radharani.
Therefore, the bona fide spiritual master is sometimes considered a representative of Srimati Radharani, sometimes the representative of Balaram. So we're advised to get the mercy of Krishna by going through the bona fide spiritual master. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasad. Is that okay? Yes.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his various books mentions that these various demons killed by Krishna and Balaram, they represent different anarthas, unwanted impurities within the heart. Specifically with regard to Dhenukasu, he mentions that Dhenukasu represents our nascent lack of knowledge about the real self, our object of worship, and also it represents heavy superstition. So if we worship Balaram by hearing these pastimes, can we get rid of these kinds of anarthas?
Yes, yes. All of these anarthas are driven away by worshipping Krishna Balaram. Yes. The ass within us will be. Toss that. We have the ignorance, and then the ignorance also takes the form of so-called knowledge. So-called knowledge is worse. Andam tamaham pravishanti ye vidyam upasate tato bhuya ipate tamo yau vidyayam yata. Those who are in ignorance go down, and those who have so-called knowledge go down even lower. This is the statement in Bhisho Upanishad. So one can be freed from both ignorance and so-called knowledge, which is also ignorance, by the mercy of Balaram. Anything else? Is that okay? All right. Thank you all very much.